Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewpkaufman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewpkaufman.com. And now, back to the show.
We live in a crockpot world, but we all want microwave results. Everyone is looking for that silver bullet, that single pill that when taken will quickly resolve our issues and put us in that place where we'd ideally like to be. If only it was that easy. To create something wonderful not only takes time, but consistent, dedicated, and sustained effort to key behaviors, tactics, and activities. Once the goal is achieved and the summit reached, we cannot afford to rest and stop, but instead, recognize and celebrate our progress, look ahead to the next summit we need to overcome, and start the journey once again. To achieve relationship nirvana, we can learn to create the system, the habitual habits and actions that will help us repeatedly achieve those desired results as we continue to hone and apply our key relationship skills. Let's take a look at our 14 pillars of successful relationships and use them as a lens to look through as we explore creating the system that will help us ultimately achieve our own relationship nirvana. We have a great recap episode today for the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. Kim and I had the honor of doing a panel with three licensed marriage therapists. A few names that you might recognize if you've been hanging around the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast for a while. My co-author on Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. We had Chris Cambus with us. We also had Jeff Jennings and he and his wife, Jessica, from the Greatest Marriage Ever program. They are both licensed marriage therapists, they have independent practices, and they work together for online coaching. And then we had Natalie Southward from the Life Transformation Counseling Center in Tampa, Florida. And she and her partner, Eric, her wonderful husband, were also guests on our podcast. So we had over, Kim, 75 years of experience helping couples strengthen their relationships. And our whole quest and the purpose of this podcast interview that we did was titled Relationship Nirvana, because we all would love to know what we can do to have a better relationship and reach that place where we feel like our relationship is in its nirvana or ideal state. And I think that Kim and I learned that it's not a silver bullet. It's not a plateau or a summit that we reach and we're done and we kick back and put our feet on the desk and eat bonbons for the rest of our life. But we keep facing those summits, but we have the tools and the systems in order to keep making it better and stronger and more durable for all the things that we're going to face.
I really love this episode because I feel like it gave us so much incredible information from such legitimate sources, people who have been giving couples therapy for a long time, and they're very good at what they do. And so I feel like it was just a great opportunity for us to really dissect and learn and pick their brains about a lot of these questions that we have surrounding relationship nirvana. And really, I think at the end of the day, what we learned is it's a journey. It really is just a constant, like you said, we're rising up, we get to the top of the summit, and we just keep doing that summit after summit after summit. And it's how we learn how to manage our relationship during all the ups and downs that really help us to achieve relationship nirvana?
Yeah, I mean, relationships are not linear. It's not point A to point B. There's no straight line. That's the shortest distance. So we'd love to be able to do things that are expedient and quick and get through it. But when you have emotions and different opinions and personalities, it really never seems to work out that way. And it's like Kim said, it's that ebb and flow. The line is going to look ups and downs and peaks and valleys. And that's just really how life is. But if you're able to create the system of tools in the toolbox and the practices that you know are going to give you the great results, it's so much easier to know what to do when you're faced with those situations. And we kind of started off this interview in the normal way we do on the Kick-Ass Couples podcast, and we went back to family of origin. And, you know, Natalie came right out of the gate and she said one of the things she does with her clients is a genogram, because she wants them to connect with their history and understand who entered their world and what was it for. Was it for attention? Was it for love? Was it for discipline? And she talked a lot about accessing the families and looking at the patterns of what was displayed, and then talking about roles and responsibilities and seeing how that all came forward in the relationship that they have today. So I think really, Kim, it's a lot about awareness. Like, where did you come from and what happened and why is that important to you as you go forward?
Sure. And it's not just about the connecting, it's about the disconnecting too, right? So we're learning about both sides of that history in what was modeled for us when we were younger. And it does really do play a really big role in what we bring to our next relationship. So really digging in and learning and finding out about each other's history and educating ourselves is huge.
Yeah. Jeff talked about, Kim, attachment style. Maybe you can share a little bit. What did he share with us about attachment style and why that's important relative to the idea of our family of origin?
So I think when we're growing up, we all have needs that need to be met, right? Especially when we're younger. And it's really, how were those needs met when we were younger versus needs that weren't being met when we were younger? And so I feel like, you know, those are different styles that we learn when we're younger, and those really do influence our relationship and how we attach to our partner.
Sure. And I think what he said too is, you know, we learned, or things were modeled to us that were healthy, right, and some were unhealthy. And so if you're not aware of what unhealthy attachment is, maybe it's something you're continuing to do with your partner. And if you're not attaching in a healthy way, that's something you got to stop. So you got to be aware of it. And he said, you know, it's more important to be aware if there's any unhealthy attachments that are occurring. And then he helps and works with the couples to navigate those so they can be eliminated.
Sure. And then Chris talked about something really important, which is our meta emotions. And that's how we feel about our feelings, right? About how we connect to our own feelings. And that was another important factor in our history.
Yeah. I mean, he talked about having to regulate. He talked about up-regulating positivity, meaning increase the way we have positivity. But he said, you can't just downgrade negativity. It's not about avoiding negativity only. You do want to dampen those things that are negative in the relationship when you're talking about emotions in your relationship, but you have to also upregulate positivity. So you're going to dampen the negative stuff, and you have to learn how to talk about and make more things positive in your relationship with your spouse. I thought that was great.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that, you know, when there's a mismatch of feelings and emotions and that meta emotion, that can really take you down a very dangerous path if you're not aware of it and you don't do something about it.
No doubt. And I think he talked about too, before you get married, if you can, you got to find out what those emotion styles are and say, am I accepted? Can I accept this? Is it good for me? Is it going to work? Or is it a non-starter? Because if you jump in a relationship and you don't understand how your personalities and those meta emotions and feelings are expressed or relating to your partner, you can really have a dangerous recipe down the road if it's something that's not addressed.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to know where they come from to be empathic.
Yeah.
And the next thing that we moved into was commitment. And, you know, what what is commitment and what does it look like? And, you know, you're really, I think Jeff said, looking out for the well-being and the best interest of your partner.
Yeah, I liked how he said that. Yeah. You know, whose needs first? I kind of asked him the question. I go, okay, if we're looking out for our spouse's needs first. And he said, you got to be flexible because there's going to be an ebb and a flow
right.
in the relationship. Different days, like between you and I, some days you are more needy or need more of my support. And other days I might need more of yours. But kind of the underlying reality is we both need each other's support all the time.
Right.
There's not really a time in a relationship where it's like, oh, you don't have to support me right now.
Right. And I think it's about being aware too, really sensing what the other person is signaling to you. Maybe it might be their words and actions, but you're just really aware of what's going on with them so that you really can jump in and offer that support and give them what they need in that moment.
Yeah, awareness is huge.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think we had the pleasure of interviewing another couple recently, and she said, I never thought about awareness relative to my partner in the relationship, you know, and she said that's a great word to go forward. And it was interesting because Natalie talked about commitment, Kim, and she kind of had a three-step process. She said, you know, before you commit, you want to know or ask yourself the question, can I rely on them? Are they going to be there for me? So she goes, you want to know them before you trust. So you can't just trust somebody because you say, I love them, I care for them, so I can just automatically trust. She goes, you got to know them and really understand who they are. And the first step is that trust. And then she said, the second is, she goes, before you can trust, you got to know, can I rely on them? Are they going to be there for me in the way I need it when I need them? That's step two. Then she said, three, you can commit when you know them and you've gotten the trust and you can rely on them. Then commitment's easy because you don't feel like you're putting yourself out there or you're at risk in the relationship.
Sure. And she also said that when all those things come into play, when I can rely on you, when I know I can trust you, then the physical and the sexual intimacy come naturally after that commitment is solidified.
Yeah. It's a byproduct. It's not,
it is.
You can't detour or circumvent
it
that.
It just happens.
Yeah. I like that. And then Chris talked a little bit about Kim, conditional commitment. He said, you know, variable commitment is the death knell of a relationship. And that's when somebody is committed sometimes and sometimes they're not, or they're not sure maybe how they feel about the relationship, and their feelings and emotions and dedication are not consistent. They're variable, because if there's conditional commitment, then they feel like there's a plan B. Like there's, well, if this doesn't work out, I can go do something else.
Yeah. And he talked about, can I trust you to be there for me? Can I trust relying on you? And he said, it's not about all the big things that we do for each other, but rather all the little things. Like if I text you, you're going to respond. You know, if I need something, you're going to ask me, what is it that you need in that moment? You're going to respond to my needs, and vice versa. It works both ways. So, you know, if I ask you a question, you're going to answer it. If I'm making a bid for a connection, you're going to look at me and respond to me and talk to me. It's all those little things that add up.
Yeah. The little things that trust is built like a brick in a wall, right? Every action is a brick. And the more bricks you put in the wall, the bigger it gets, the stronger it gets. And we have so many opportunities for connection, mm-hmm. those bids, those sliding door moments that we've talked about before throughout a day. But it's an active choice, each and every one, if you choose to walk through it.
I can look down and pretend like I don't hear you and I'm ignoring you, or I can choose to look you in the eye and acknowledge you and be there for you.
Yeah. The next thing we talked about, Kim, was communication. What were some of the things that came to you when we were talking with our great panel on communication?
Well, one of the things that was said was that there are really two subjective realities that are happening all at one time when we communicate, right? So it's my version and your version. And it doesn't mean that my version is right and yours is wrong or vice versa. What we really need to do is, when we're communicating with each other, is really try to understand what the other person is saying, whether we agree with it or not. Just really try to listen, to actively listen and to understand.
I know, you nailed it. And I think that what I love that Chris shared as well, he said, I don't have to agree with their emotions or their feeling on a situation. It doesn't invalidate you, or you don't have to sacrifice your belief or your thought, but you do have to understand it, because by understanding it, you're drawing closer to them and you're becoming more unified as you say, well, we're going to agree to disagree about that, and understanding. And I mean, in our own experience, Kim, there's been things, you and I are both of the Christian faith, but there's some finer points on theology or biblical interpretation
right.
that we haven't agreed on. And we learned early on to go, okay, I respect and understand where you're coming from, but it's not about convincing the other one that one's right and one's wrong. It's understanding where we differ and saying, hey, we differ on that, and how can we move forward?
And that's where we messed up at the beginning. I mean, if we're being really honest about it, you know, we would kind of go head to head and really try to make the other person sort of sway them, right? To understand, no, your way isn't right, my way is. And after time, we realize that it's just more important that we really respect that we each have our own opinion and our own, you know, value system and belief system. And we respect what that is.
Right. I think we've learned in our journey together how to be more empathic
sure.
with each other. Like, the universe does not just exist because of me
that's right.
or you. And that's not why we're here. We're here to serve and support. And I think that's been huge for us.
Yeah, and another thing is just prioritizing time to communicate, whether it's over a meal or whether it's at the end of every day. We're going to have 10 minutes. Maybe we're going to take a walk, or we're going to do a paddleboard. We have to carve out the time to have great, effective communication with each other. It's imperative.
It is. When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now. And I think a lot of it comes down to motive too, Kim. One of the things that Natalie said, she said, are you listening to hear or are you listening to share? So many of us, when we're in conversations, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have seen this, you're talking to somebody and they just can't wait to start talking. They keep trying to interrupt you. They want to jump in. They want to finish your sentences because they want to get out what they're thinking and what they want to say and what they want you to hear. But you really got to be patient with your partner and make sure you're listening for their heart. Yeah. Where is their heart on this issue? And if you understand it, then you can also share your viewpoint, but not till you've been empathic and related to your partner, what they're feeling, and then reflect back to you. Yeah, that's it. You got it.
What about conflict resolution, Matthew? That is one of the things, one of the areas that we talk about in our podcast. And I feel like the masters, that when they come to resolving conflict, they do it really well because they kind of hit it right head on when it arises, but they also use it as an opportunity for growth and to learn more about their partner. Tell me a little bit about what you learned about conflict resolution and talking to these three therapists.
Sure. I think one of the big things that came up to me, Kim, is, you know, you and I have said this before, like if it's a, Chris talked about perpetual issues and a couple that he had that was, they're in their 80s and they had been married over 43 years. And he said there were issues, perpetual issues that they each had that they didn't know the other one had. And so they kept butting against one another and, you know, locking horns, so to speak. And I think it's understanding if an issue is perpetual, meaning no matter what, I'm going to feel one way and you're going to feel another.
Not solvable.
Right. Not solvable. So it's not really, it's not about, you want to solve what you can. And I think the situation will naturally present itself if you can. But if you can't, it's getting understanding. right?
Sure.
And understanding, why do you feel that way? What's the dream within the reality? Mm-hmm. Why is this so important to you? And then once you understand that, you know, you're seeing eye to eye or you're hip to hip. So you're both looking at the situation the same way. You've achieved understanding and you can move forward knowing that you have differences of opinion.
And I think it, instead of yelling and getting heated and getting angry and maybe accusatory, I think we have to really learn how to establish some really healthy dialogue. We have to learn to simmer down, listen, and really talk about how we feel. This really hurt me when you said XYZ, or I feel this when you say that. So really establishing healthy dialogue around the conflict and using it as an opportunity to learn is huge.
Yeah. Softening the reaction, I think, is huge. And sometimes that's just time, you know, PBR method, pause, breathe and reflect. So if you're triggered by something or you feel like you have a negative emotion about something your spouse does or says, pause.
Right.
Take it in. Breathe. Take a big breath. Reflect. And then respond. And we interviewed a sweet couple, George and Nancy Hensley. And she goes, you know what we've learned after 62 years of being together? She says, you got to cool off before you spout off.
Right.
And, you know, that's a funny way of remembering it. But she's so right. You got to take it in because you never want to do something intentionally or unintentionally that is going to hurt your spouse. Because if they're your best friend and your partner, you would never want to knowingly or unknowingly do something that's damaging to them because it's going to hurt the relationship.
Sure. We talked a little bit earlier today, too. We just finished an interview with a young couple that were great. And, you know, you talked about halt. And, you know, we kind of got to like look at ourselves and see where we are. Are we hungry? Are we tired? What, you know, did we just come off of a really bad phone conference? So many things can come into play when we're trying to have dialogue or resolve conflict with our partner.
So there's an acronym that Kim is talking about. It's called HALT, H-A-L-T. And those letters stand for, the H is for hungry, the A is for angry, the L is for lonely, if you're feeling isolated, and the T is if you're tired. So if you're experiencing any of those emotions, you have to know enough to address the emotion first, make it a non-issue, because if you bring that baggage into the relationship with your partner, you're going to be focusing on that issue, that emotion, and not necessarily what's between you. So it's a good, if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, get those needs met first so you can be most effective as you talk to your partner.
Yeah. So real quick, I mean, there was just so much good information throughout this entire episode and interviewing these therapists. They're just wonderful people and they have so much great information to impart to us. But if we had to just sum it up really quick, Matthew, into just seven, maybe just different things that we can give our listeners to put into their toolbox to help really achieve relationship nirvana, what would some of those things be?
Yeah, great question, Kim. And we could do a recap with you on this episode for over an hour or more because there's so much truth and great nuggets there. But I think the first thing that Jeff shared is he said, we live in an overscheduled world. There are so many demands on our time and our focus and our energy and our effort. He said, you have to make intentional time to be together. You got to carve it out and make sure that you're connecting, not talking about the schedule and what are we having for dinner and what are we doing Friday night.
We're talking about date night.
You know, I call that the weather. Yeah, the weather report. It's not like, oh, how are you feeling? Fine. You know, nice weather out today, right? You know, meaningless conversation is not connection. Connection is looking into the eyes, being in close proximity, touching if you can, and asking those questions about where your spouse is emotionally on any issue and sharing progress about where you are as well.
Asking those deeper level questions and really trying to get to know and understand your partner better.
Yeah. What was another one that you?
I think just really looking for the good in your partner and speaking it when you see it, when you notice something that they're doing, just recognize it and say it and just show so much appreciation. It goes so far in making your spouse feel so good.
Oh yeah. We all love to hear the good things about us and what our partner appreciates. I think finding and asking the right questions, Kim, I mean, just because we've been married 27 years, coming up on 28, there's still stuff I don't know about her. So the challenge to me is to find questions I can ask about. It could be a specific issue we're dealing with, a family member, our children, us together, but finding the right questions and asking so I can learn more about your inner world and what beliefs you hold close to yourself, and taking the time to get those things, journal them and track them, and really become a student. You can never stop being a student of your spouse.
Yeah, and I love what Natalie always says, continue to be curious, always be curious in your relationship, which is wonderful advice.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think, you know, she also said play together. You have got to make time to have fun together. And I agree. I mean, if you're off playing golf or you're playing tennis and you're doing something with your friends and your wife is maybe doing something with her friends and it's totally, you know, separate, you have to come together and play together. It cannot always be you do your thing and I'll do mine. We've got to have fun together.
Yeah. And what's interesting is playing and having fun, it can be one of your favorite activities. I could take Kim on one of my favorite activities. She could take me on one of hers. But I would encourage you all to find activities that neither of you are good at, so that exploration and that discovery comes for both of you at the same time. Kim and I did that with a shooting class. We both wanted to learn how to safely handle and shoot a gun, and neither of us had taken a class before, and we did that together. I enjoyed shooting in different formats, and she had not done a lot of it, and we were both rookies together, both novices together, and that shared experience is something that we still do today, and we had a lot of fun doing it because we were on the same level, and truth be told, she's a better shooter than I am. She's more effective because she's calmer, more methodical, and more relaxed. And I'm usually more forceful in trying to muscle something instead of relaxing and allow it to happen. But that's a great opportunity of an activity that neither of us had done and we learned about together. So sure. I agree, having fun. And, you know, Chris made a comment. You've heard us say this before, leaning into your partner and turning towards them in the small things. There are so many things throughout a day. Really, you probably, if you're with your partner a lot, you have 10s, 20s, 100 times a day where you can connect with them. And when they give a bid or open a door for you to walk through it, walk through it. Get the connection. It could be as little as much as, oh my gosh, it's so hot out here today. Oh, it is. I can't believe summer's here. I'm sweating. What could we do that would be fun together in the heat, right? We're connecting, sure. We're talking. And so he said, turn towards them in the small things, which I think is huge.
And friends, we have to dream together. I think it's so important, regardless of what the ability or the finances are. Let's dream together and let's dream big. Let's set goals. You know, let's just have fun thinking about what could be.
Yeah, I think you have to be willing to take limitations. Doesn't matter what your finances are or are not, if the logistics could allow it, but just dream. In other words, if money and time were not issues, what would you like to do individually or what would you like to do together? And because you'll probably end up learning and creating those bonds of intimacy together. And I think, gosh, one of the last things, Kim, I remember, I think Natalie talked about this. She said, whenever you're entering an environment with your partner, enter with a positive perspective. Look for the positive. She said, you might come home and you might see your spouse on the floor playing with the kids, but then you also see dirty dishes in the sink. She said, don't worry about the dishes in the sink, but look at the interaction that your partner's having with the kids and then go make yourself part of it. The other stuff can wait, but choose to engage in the positive things in your environment first and come back and look at those negative or difficult things another time.
That's great advice, because I feel like as a mom, you're walking in on this scene, right? You've just scanned the room and you've seen a pile of dirty dishes. Maybe everything's still on the table from dinner and dad's on the floor playing with the kids and they're laughing and rolling around and having a great time. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in, oh my gosh, no one bothered to clear the table or do the dishes. But she's right. You have got to look at the good that's going on and just see this beautiful family playing over in the corner and having a wonderful time together. Because what's more important at the end of the day, it's that time that we have, that we share with each other, that really makes the most out of the day.
I couldn't agree more, Kim. No one is going to remember how clean your house was.
That's exactly, you know, right.
How good the countertop looked. But you are going to remember the shared experiences of play and fun and discovery and joy and laughter. You're going to remember the crying and the sad times as well. But it's those shared experiences that are really the mortar that build the strength of the relationship.
Yes. So back to relationship nirvana. As you can see, it's a lot of little things done consistently over time through the peaks and the valleys that help you to achieve relationship nirvana. It's a journey. It's a work in progress, a continued work in progress.
It is. And, you know, if you haven't heard the interview Relationship Nirvana with our panel of marriage therapists, go check it out. I mean, I'm going to listen to it again. There's so much stuff we haven't even unpacked today. I think anybody can benefit from it, whether you are thinking about married, you've been married 5 years or married 50 years. It doesn't matter. And really, Kim, this whole foundation is what we've built our platform on. Kick-Ass Couples Podcast and Kick-Ass Couples Nation is here to serve you, to help imperfect couples, and we are one of those imperfect couples, learn how to prioritize your number one relationship and deepen and strengthen the bonds so you can feel happier, more joy, and more rewarding. So if you would like to have a stronger relationship and invest more and feel better about your number one, go to KCN. If you look at MatthewPHoffman.com, we've got a membership community. We have monthly webinars twice a month with our panel of marriage therapists. Some of the ones you talked to today are on there. And we go deep dives on the relationship pillars that we have and teach you how to recognize things, give you tools, give you exercises, practices, examples, resources, all in an effort to help you thrive and reach that relationship nirvana.
Yes. And thank you, Natalie. Thank you, Jeff and Chris, for all of your incredible advice to our listeners.
So many great things. We appreciate you joining us today. And we hope at the end of the day that you just remember one thing.
Happily ever after doesn't just happen, my friends. It's on purpose.
We'll see you out there.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.